Assalamu alaikum, this is episode 41, The Challenges of Muslim Podcasting with Jibril Salam and Muhammad Hassan of Young and Muslim. Young and Muslim is one of America's favorite Muslim podcasts. Jibril and Muhammad endeavor to explore the real issues that young Muslim Americans experience, giving their own takes and personal experiences in a hilarious fashion that is rarely seen on the topic of Islam. We'll be speaking to the brothers on their journey, why they got into podcasting, the challenges they faced along the way, and advice to those who want to start their own podcast. Thanks for spending time with us today, and welcome back to 786 Boulevard. Jibril, Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. How are you guys doing?
Alaikum assalam. Doing good, bro. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. Appreciate you guys jumping on. I feel like we've got a connection ever since we were both featured on that article by The National. Was it the most influential or 10 Muslim podcast to look out for?
And we've got this, like, I saw was Obama.
Yeah, you saw Obama, but there is like this like brotherly weird connection that we got going on because we're both on the same list, alhamdulillah. And I think for me and Hasnain, that's when we realized, okay, now we've got to step it up, now we can't mess around. So, you know, it's been an interesting journey so far.
The big deal on this podcast, man.
It's a big deal. That's what Hasnain thinks. Ignore him. He's got his ego. I'm more of a humble kind of, you know, I try to go the humble way. But we're here. Appreciate you guys coming on, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, hopefully we'll have a brief conversation about something we've been struggling with, and I'm sure so many others struggle with as well, which are the challenges of establishing a Muslim podcast, which I'm sure you guys are well versed in. Mashallah, you guys have a great audience so far. You have some great episodes, great conversations, some of which I've been hearing the past few days. Just to start off, people who might not know your story, the story behind Young and Muslim, just give us a brief background into both you guys and how you kind of established it and the story of your growth since then.
Yeah, I guess I'll go because I'm the first to talk. So Muhammad and I, we've known each other for going on 12 years now. We met in college. We were the only two Muslim students in the school. So naturally we gravitated towards each other as we were both stealing food out of our cafeteria, right? Over years and years and years, we came up with different things, different ideas to do stuff. And then we land on a podcast. And we started that in 2018. Really just wanting to talk about the things that we talked about with each other, right? But actually make those conversations something that we felt more people would want to hear, more people going through those things, because we have a very, you know, checkered sort of experiences. So we started the podcast and was putting out one episode, another episode, and here we are now 100 plus episodes later.
Amazing. Muhammad.
Yeah, what made the conversation so interesting between Jibril and I was because I'm from Northern Virginia, he's from Southern Virginia. So if you're from the area, you know that Northern Virginia is near D.C., it's near Maryland, up the way to Philly, New York. So there are tons of Muslims there. So in regards to going to Muslim activities, finding like massages and Juma, that was a piece of cake, right? It's not something that you think about. And when I went down south, because I went to college with Jibril, as he mentioned, at Virginia Wesleyan in college, there were no massages. Right. There was no Juma. It was all up to us. And then when I met Jibril's family, they're like, "You ready for Juma?" I'm like, "I'm ready." I was like, "Where's everybody at?" They're like, "Here it is." And it was only two people and I was the third person. SubhanAllah. So I was like, "Wow, this is really like that out here, you know?" So that's when Jibril and I really started to get intrigued with one another, like, "Yo, what's your background?" And I started telling them about my background. And that's how so many conversations came about. And then the podcast was birthed through those combos.
What was the difference like? I mean, I guess it's a heavy question, but just briefly, what was like the difference in spiritual upbringing, let's say, growing up in these different environments? Because I'm from London, Hasnain's from New York. There's Muslims everywhere. You know, you can't walk the street without seeing a hijabi, sometimes even a niqabi. There's mosques everywhere. There's halal fried chicken shops everywhere. Muslims are a big part of where we live. And I find it so interesting that so many of us in the West grow up in these communities, regions where there's barely any Muslims. So what was the difference like in your, let's say, spiritual upbringing and coming to know Islam, where you were, Jibril, compared to where you grew up, Muhammad?
I think the biggest thing was the expectation of the individual versus the collective, right? Because there are so few Muslims here, it's pretty much on you to uphold your Islam. Like, you're not with five of your homies in school. So I went, when I was going to high school, middle school, intermediate school, primary school, I was the only Muslim. So it was really on me to uphold my Islam for myself. And you quickly start learning what is your religion for yourself, right? And you learn it even more so once you're on your own and you live in different places from your family. So I think that was probably the biggest thing that maybe was a shock to Mo when he came down, was that, oh, so I can't, I have to be Muslim, not just when it's Eid, not just when I'm around the family. It's like, so it's just us. And that was a real struggle for us, because like you're in college and there's every temptation that you can think of imaginable right there in front of you. And no one's saying like, nah, don't do it. So it's like you having to come into your own and be responsible for that, knowing that there's only two of you or one of you or nobody else like you, even nearby.
That's incredible. And Muhammad, what about, I guess your experiences would be similar to us, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would say it would be similar, but also a little bit different, because there's levels, right? In regards to everything, there's levels of heaven, there's levels of hell, you know what I mean? So when it came to the Muslims up here, there were different levels. You had the Muslims that were in the ISA and the Islamic schools and the Masajid after school program. Then you had the individuals that would visit the Masajid because their family would take them. Then you would have people like me that would just come on Jummah, or we would slip through the cracks because our parents were working all the time. So my dad worked all the time. My mom wasn't home. I didn't have a ride to the Masajid. So we were one, my community, we were some of the Muslims that just fell through the cracks that were just kind of in the streets, you know? And the Islam that we learned was through our family and through our culture, which wasn't always the most pure, accurate, because it was passed down from our grandpa, from his father to, you know? So when we learn something, we don't ask questions. We just follow. We just abide. You know what I mean? And sometimes that hurts us, because it's always good to ask questions. In Islam, you have to know what you're doing. Everything's intention. So when I came down, I met Jibril. He's like, why do you do that? I'm like, because my dad does it. And then his dad does it. So it was a lot of ritual stuff that I had to break when I met Jibril's time, because like, mashallah, they went by the book and they were able to not only find Allah through the text, but find it through creation. And my spirituality grew a lot, because a lot of things were fear-mongered in my community. It's like haram, hell, like those were a lot. Right. And when I came to Jibril, he's like, yo, like, looks like a lot of your practice is based off of fear. You know what I mean? I'm like, isn't that kind of how it's supposed to be? Like, we're not supposed to do stuff because of the fear of what's going to happen. He's like, yeah, that's understandable, but we have to live in the middle. You know, we have the wisdom and understand that Allah is also the most merciful and, you know, can forgive us for what we do. And you can also kind of, you can enjoy life and not be so uptight.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, he had to say that and not me. Like, it's, I can't be like, yo, the way you practice was all fear-based, right? Like, I can't say that. So it's, you know, but he's spot on though. And I think that's a conversation that we've been having more now than we have at any point in our friendship, is because everything's better in hindsight, right? Like, you can look back and say, hey, like, this is what it was like when we were 18, 19, and we were like, we were first kind of figuring ourselves out as far as what was it like where we came from, what were our practices like. And by no means was the way that I brought up absolutely perfect, right? Like, I've definitely learned things from his family, and there's a stronger sense of community because he does have that lineage with the religion. But I think when you have friends that come from such polar opposites, you have no choice but to learn what's on each side of the plane. In terms of how you grew up, how you're learning, how you practice. And you want to stay with some of those things. But I think over the years and truly through our platform, we've learned that the middle ground is where it's set. That's where the nectar is the sweetest, right in the middle of the flower, you know?
Right. You know, there's a lot to unpack there with what Muhammad said. Number one, the whole practicing with fear, you know, growing up, my dad would always say, I'm a God-fearing man, right? And I didn't understand the beauty of just switching that sentence to I'm a God-loving man, and how much more powerful that is for you when you go about the streets. And you're like, So there's a story. I ran into a priest and, like, you know, he was just like, hey, you need Jesus in your life. And I'm like, I do have Jesus in my life. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Then, you know, he was going about, because in New York, it happens all the time. Like, listen, I have Jesus in my life. You know, just, you know, don't worry about it. And he's like, you need to be a God-fearing man and this, that, and the other. Because he saw me in my suit and tie, and I work in finance, and everybody thinks finance is the devil's industry, right? I mean, anyway, so, you know.
Another podcast.
So long story short, you know, I simply turned around to him, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a God-fearing man. It doesn't interfere about God. I'm a God-loving man. And that's what brings me closer to him. So just simply switching that sentence around, because I know we use it a lot, not in that context, but in whatever context you use it, we use it a lot. And that really changed my life. So that's point number one. Point number two is interesting how you brought up the whole, you know, I was brought up in a culture and in religion. And in today's world, it's so easy to mix the two. And even though it's okay for culture to fit in your Islamic values, the religion is before the culture. And like, I'm guilty of it as well. You know, being Pakistani, we have, like, if a black cat walks past you, you're going to have a bad day. If you cut your nails at night, you're going to die tomorrow morning. Like, I don't know what it is, right? So we have those cultural things. And I just tell my parents, I'm like, yo, where'd you learn this from? Because I'm reading the books and I'm reading the text and, like, I'm good. I'm Gucci. I don't care if a black cat walks in past you. Just, you know, give us some milk or whatnot. So something I'm learning today is separation of culture and Islam. And slowly what I'm learning is I'm not in tune with my Pakistani culture as much. Like, I love the tradition. I love the food. I love the clothes. That's fine. But I also love culture of other cultures as well, like the Afghani culture, the Iraqi culture, the Sudanese culture and whatnot, the Ethiopian culture. You know, I've had Ethiopian food for the first time last week. It was amazing. I'm getting introduced to these cultures that I love. But then when you take a step back, you know, I was like, you know, my religion is my religion, but my religion is also my culture, because it opens up other cultures for me to appreciate. So it's just, you know, just two things that, you know, you brought up and it just clicked to me, because that's exactly the conversation I'm having this week. Go ahead, Nuri. I went on a rant there.
No, I like it. Love to hear your opinions. One thing I want to ask you guys is, you know, I find it so interesting that you guys both seem very sincere in this spiritual journey that you're going on, and constantly looking for, I guess, an element of truth. And I guess, how much does that seep into, or how much do the conversations that you have on your podcast seep into your spirituality? I mean, do you find you guys having conversations seeking to grow yourselves in your own way? And to what extent do these conversations help you navigate your own Islamic spirituality and identity?
They're 100% raw, 120%. So we got to the point where we had to stop talking on the phone as much to keep up with each other. Because when we were in school, we adopted this thing called the buddy system, right? Essentially, we're each other's accountability partners. So with that, it was like, I remember immediately after school, it was like, yo, hey, bro, make sure you go to Juma today, da, da, da. Hey, make sure you pray today, da, 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 right? And, you know, that would ebb and flow up and down in waves. And so it got to the point where we were like, yo, we got to stop talking so much so that we can save this stuff for the podcast, right? And so we can come out there, be as authentic and as real as possible, because the reality is the stuff that we would ordinarily talk about on a regular basis, we want our audience to also engage in those conversations. Because we don't know what people talk about behind closed doors, but we can only assume that if people are struggling with their faith, people are struggling with their spirituality, people are struggling with where they actually belong in the world as much as we are, then these conversations and these questions, maybe they're asking them, maybe they're not, but they are asking them, then this podcast, we want this episode to be the thing that strikes the iron for them, that thing that sparks that fire for them. And maybe they take it on a whole nother level than we've taken it, but we want to at least be that inspiration for helping someone align better on their own spiritual path, you know?
Yeah, no, just kind of to piggyback off what Jabril said, very well said. I feel like when we first started the podcast, because it was a Young and Muslim podcast, we focused a lot on the Muslim portion of it, right? Mm-hmm. We focused on the prayer, we focused on the fasting. And then as we started to get older and wiser and more in tune with ourselves, we started to talk about more of the young portion. When I mean young, more of the people, right? We weren't so heavily focused on the Muslims, but more focused on the people. For example, we just went to Jamaica, right? And we learned about Islam and the Caribbeans. And what that did for us was just open up our mind in regards to being able to farm, right? And grow your own food. And you see Allah everywhere. You feel me? So when your mind and your heart opens up and you start having conversations, now you can have that spiritual conversation with anybody, right? And they're not even going to know you, Muslim. Yo, they're like, yo, there's something special about that guy. You follow me? In the same way with Jibril, at first, when we first started, I was like, oh, that guy's Muslim. They can kind of tell right away. We're not trying to pigeonhole ourselves, because we know that the Quran, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was sent to mankind, but it was a mercy to the people. And every prophet or messenger that was sent spoke the language of the people. And right now, with the struggles that the young Muslims have, including us, we're just speaking the language of the people now. You follow me? So we're not too focused on the text. Because if we were, then, you know, that's when they go listen to Mufti Mink and other people that are more knowledgeable. But that's not.
Yeah, and to Muhammad's point, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot more now is, I guess, kind of on that route of like Tony Robbins, right? Like self-help. How do we make ourselves better? Because all of these things, Hassanin, you said it best. I'm not a God-fearing man. I'm a God-loving man. And if I love God, then it means that I love his creation. I love his creation, the people. If you love the creation, that means that you love the trees, the mountains, the ocean, all of it. And you see God in all of it, right? So everything, like what we've come to realize in doing this podcast, that everything's connected. Everything is a part of our religion and how we interact with people. Meaning, we're not just talking about, you know, hadiths and saying, oh, have good manners. Just like, yo, let's make this practical, right? Like, if you see an old lady, open the door for it. Like, let's be cool. If you see trash on the ground, pick it up, put it in a trash can. So it's like, when we break it down to that level, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim or not Muslim. The podcast that we're finding is that we get a lot of non-Muslims that listen to it, because it's just like, yo, like, this is good life stuff. And I think that's what our religion is in itself. It's just, this is just good life stuff to make your life better, if you to be better for other people as well.
I love that perspective of not trying I guess embracing your identity, but at the same time not trying to pigeonhole yourself, because you're right, as we know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent as a mercy to mankind, not to Muslimin. Allah is Lord of the world, not of the Muslims. And I think that sometimes, unfortunately, in our communities, we kind of forget that, and we're very inward looking. You know, and I think it's important to work on ourselves, but sometimes we forget about the world around us. And I feel like there's a sense of almost arrogance that we have, that, oh, we are the guided people and we have the right religion, but we're not using those lessons to better the people around us. You know, everything that happens, not even on a grander scale, like, for example, what we see, you know, the social injustices that we see around us, for example, in America and the West, that we all come out and protest against. Even the very simple things, like you said, the woman that needs crossing the street, your neighbor, do you even know who he is? You know, I feel like these are really opportunities for us to really practice our Islam. And I really appreciate that point. Another thing that I guess me and Hassanin have kind of enjoyed over the 40 episodes now that we've had in this podcast is having conversations with so many diverse people. I think sometimes we forget that Islam is not a monolith. There are so many, there's such a big diversity of Muslims with different perspectives. I mean, aside from being Muslim, we're all different souls and have our own interests and, you know, liberal, conservative, religious, non-religious, this side, that side, you know, different cultures. Hassanin, of course, is more liberal and I'm more conservative. So we do clash sometimes. But what's amazing is that there's just such diversity in the Muslim community. And I'm guessing that's something you have kind of discovered, with each conversation that you've had. So how does each conversation that you have kind of open your mind to how diverse our Muslim community is?
That's a good question. Are you talking specifically from our guest, from our audience,
specifically from your experiences with the podcast generally?
Well, what I'm starting to understand, especially from the podcast, is that as Muslims we're supposed to be very intelligent, right? But we're very simple-minded. And what I mean by that is that I go through the podcast and I see what people are saying. I see what people are talking about. When I post on social media, we post on social media, I see what people are gravitating towards. For example, you pray outside and people go crazy. Oh my God, he's praying outside. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe he's praying outside. Like, he's praying outside.
What's your excuse?
Exactly. And everybody goes crazy. But then you have a video of somebody saying some very insightful advice in regards to transforming your heart and controlling like your nefs and how to be a better person. The Muslim, we're not worried about that. You know, so that makes me realize that we have started to turn into symbolic people. And another example of that is that now, you know, instead of following our religion and our texts and God and the messenger of God, we're starting to follow reciters, right? And qadis, and we're falling in love with them. We're falling in love with their voice, not even what they're saying. Again, symbolic. And then when these individuals get up so high and then they get caught up with different scandals, whether it's domestic violence, sex abuse, I mean, whatever it may be, we're flabbergasted. We're like, how is that possible? Forgetting that these people are human and we shouldn't even be following these people in the first place. So what I started to realize is that we need to go back to our roots and actually start to think as Muslims. You feel me? Like, to think, start to ask questions and not just follow any and everybody.
Yeah, I think to sum up where you're at and what you just said is everything is becoming performative. Like, everything's performative because it's a lot easier to act like you're about it than to truly be about it. Because to truly be about it means you have to make mistakes and you have to have ups. You got to have downs. And I think that's a lot of what we share with our platform is that we get people that ask us like some crazy questions, right? Like questions that's like, yo, I'm not your local sheikh, right? I'm not that guy.
And in my way.
Yeah, I'm not that guy, right? Like,
I think it's quite a point.
Right? So what I've learned, similar to where Mo was going with it, is people prefer to see the performative stuff because it gives you that second of dopamine. Like, ooh, they prayed outside. I'm about to go pray really quick. And that's great. If we post something or do something, it's like, yo, go pray, make salah, like, alhamdulillah, like, great. But what's more important is, are you trying to fully live out your life? Or are you just trying to live it out in sections? So what I mean by that is a lot of people aren't really trying to fully go through the life experience. And to go through life is pretty scary, right? Like, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not do everything right. And I think when we grow up in a culture and we grow up in a society where we view religion as like a shackle, you start to act like you're in prison. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of, like a lot of youth feel like they really don't have a parameter to move in. They just feel like Islam has got them in a straitjacket the whole time. But the way I look at Islam and the way that we've, you know, really been able to, you know, look at it for ourselves and then help that message spread within our audiences, Islam is like a blank canvas that has simple rules, right? But that canvas can be painted in the most beautiful way possible. And that's the individuality, as you said before. It's like, I can paint it completely blue, or I can go Bob Ross and make mountains and a beautiful lake. So when we start really trying to look at the people that we're encountering, that's what I'm seeing. And that's what I feel like is a big issue that we have going forward.
Mohammed, if I can ask you, I mean, you mentioned that you feel like one of the biggest challenges for Muslim community right now is that we're very simple minded. Why do you think that is?
I believe that people become simple minded because they stop being curious, right? Their curiosity dies down. And then when you're not curious anymore, you don't have that tenacity. You don't have that division or that ample kind of amount, the ample space in your brain to be like, okay, what's next? Like, why? Just like we were when we were kids. Again, if you just listen to what everybody's saying and you just do it and you don't ask questions, then that's the problem. So when we go to Jummah, and we never become the khatib, but it's the same khatib every week. Whatever he says, you're not going to question him. Sometimes you might not even go and do your research. you follow me. So it's just whether it's at home with your family or whether it's inside the masajid. You feel me? We're just becoming more simple by the day.
Yeah. A few things to unravel there. Question number one is the simple mindedness and the lack of questioning individuals. Do you see a difference between generations when it comes to that? Because you guys mentioned two things, right? Simple mindedness and Islam becoming like a performance, or like I see him praying on the street. Oh, I'm going to go pray because he's praying. So he's the leader. But do you see that? That's because like there's a difference between your audience who are like Gen Zs who are growing up in this technology phase where everything is Instagram, everything is TikTok, and I gotta look for that performance to show my Islam, versus like people like myself and you guys, I hope, millennials, right? Or baby boomers for that matter, who didn't have that, and we had to, you know, like at least for me, like, you know, Islam was growing up shoved down my throat. Kind of left Islam, but then relearned it on my own, which is why it's so much more closer to me now. Mm.
Well, that's what I was saying before. Like you had to make your mistakes. You had to have your ups and your downs. Right. And right now I feel like, I don't think it's a generational thing, right? Okay. Maybe it's more prevalent with the younger kids now because everything's being put right there in their faces. Like they're able to see everything. We kind of had the privilege of growing up, and you only felt crap when you had to go to the masjid and see that your friend knew 20 surahs and you only knew 5, right? Your class can only go so far. So like that was the only time you really had to feel that kind of comparison, right? That comparison anxiety when you were around other people. Now kids are feeling it 24/7. And it's not just with religion. Like we gotta remember, we're up against everything in terms of trying to get the youth to see that this religion is cool. Like you can be Muslim and still have swagger. You can still like live your life and be cool with your Islam, but that requires you to have to go through trial and error.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that maybe it is because it's the generation gap, but you went through it, we went through it, and I think the young kids are going to go through it as well. That's why I'm constantly just beating at the door saying, guys, you gotta, it's okay to have the questions. It's okay to not be 100% certain. You gotta just go out there, keep your balance, right? Like know where your feet lie, but don't be afraid to take a few steps forward and a few steps back, a few steps to the side, right? Like you gotta see what level ground you're on.
Yeah. Okay.
I would add to Jabril's point. Because when I see the generations, I see three different kind of stacks, right? I see my parents, then I see me, and I see the younger youth, right? So my parents, whether it's my dad or my mom, they learn from the local masajid or local sheikh who taught everybody in the village. You follow me? That's how it was. And if they had any questions, they would have to go find that imam or sheikh, but he could be busy, you know? So a lot of questions weren't answered, or they would have to kind of find it on their own within the text, right? You know? And what I'm starting to learn is that the older individuals, they know the text, but they might not know what it means or the context around it. They know for face value. So it's hard for them to kind of not only explain it, but to live it out, right? And when it comes to us, I feel like we're in the best position because we got the best of both worlds, right? We got the religion. Some people shoved down their throat. And then we started to learn on our own, like, hey, we need to kind of unlearn some of these things that were taught to us, and this is the truth. So it's that happy medium. Now that I'm on TikTok a lot and I'm watching the young kids, the reason why they're promoting the Islam is more of a trend or try to be funny. For example, I see people post online like, come to Islam, you can have 4 wives. As you brother know, it's hard to have one. You know, you follow me? So like, it's very difficult to have one. So, and then I see like that, I get like millions of views, like, oh, I want to come to Islam. I want to have 4 wives. I want to be a player, this, that, and the third. It's like, no, bro. And I'm sure you guys heard, I don't know if it's a hadith or what it was. When you're looking for Islamic knowledge or when you were sitting with somebody that has that, when you're asking questions, ask good questions. Ask intelligent questions. Just like Surah Al-Kahf, people are asking, was it 3 dogs Was it four dogs? Was it five dogs? Why are you worried about the dogs? You feel me? Get the lesson. The younger kids right now asking some wild question. I'm like, what? Get the lesson, bro. You feel me? Like, get the lesson. Like, oh, yeah, but I should be able to ask any question. Yeah, but did you think before you asked that question? Like Jabril said, we never turn anybody down, right? From regards to asking a question. But some of these younger kids have like, they have no boundaries with it. You follow me? So it's like, where is some of the guidance? You follow me?
Well, I think it's also knowing the room.
Yeah. Like, read the room.
Yeah, read the room. Like, fam, like, is this really the best place where you should be asking questions about X, Y, and Z? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't go to Fousey 2 to learn about marriage. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're getting into a place, like Mo said, where influencers are starting to have more influence over people's own individual thoughts.
Right.
And it's tricky. Like, I got younger siblings. I see these kids out here, and they rather watch someone travel to Senegal than actually think about doing it themselves.
Right.
You know, it's so much easier to do that, to live life through someone else's piety, someone else's. Like, I love watching my man, Dr. Faraj Hassan, right? Love that dude. Cool dude. We've talked with him. Real good guy. And it's like, I'm like, I don't want to just fall in love with listen to this guy recite, because he's great at it, right? He's great at it. But I'm like, who is he? Who is this guy? Like, he's a cool person. Let me get to know him, and I just fall in love with, one day I'll be able to recite like that. Like, we fall in love, like Mo said, with the performances. And not to say he's performing, but we fall in love with the characters, not so much the people.
I'm laughing because when we went on Instagram Live with him, we were the first people that actually got to know him as a person. Like, he didn't recite. And then somebody came in the comments like, why aren't you reciting? Some of you for like recitation, it's like, yo, bro, you don't want to get to know him as a person. You know what I mean? So basically they just come in, abuse the influencers or abuse the people that had the quality work, and then they get it and then they're out. You follow me? Instead of trying to sit there and actually get to know the person. You follow me?
Off the back of that point about young Muslims, what challenges do you think young American Muslims are facing specific to that demographic?
I think they're going to really struggle to find themselves. I mean, I know that's like super meta and like up there, but they're really going to struggle to find their place in their own Islam, because there's so many things for you to watch and look at and say, oh, like, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Like, Islam is vast, man. Like, it is huge. There's a lot of things that you can learn and things that you gravitate towards, things you don't gravitate towards. And everything isn't for everybody. And I think that when you have this illusion of options, when you have all of these things, this buffet of spiritual options, you can get lost in that. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is people don't like to spend time with themselves. People don't like to take the time to really hunt and say, all right, what do I need for my spirit? Not my mom, not my dad, not my wife, not my husband, not my kids, not my pets. What do I need? Granted, they're young, they're not going to have Mary maybe, but the point is still go out there and figure out where you stand within your Islam, you know? I think it's going to be a big thing going forward.
That's profound. I love that. I wanted to, winding down, I wanted to move on to just some kind of do's and don'ts. Obviously, you guys are very experienced podcasters, and I'm half asking you because I'm interested myself and trying to learn. So I'm just going to use this opportunity. You guys on episode, what,
123.
Wow. Okay, MashaAllah, that's amazing. What kind of advice, I mean, before we get into advice, what are the challenges, would you say, of Muslim podcasting? I know podcasting itself is already very, very, very tough. I mean, Hasnain and I know it's, as much as I love doing this, it can be very difficult to set aside time for it, you know, especially with the kind of like hectic lives that we have and building an audience. And there's just so many challenges that are involved. But what challenges would you say come with, or what challenges have you guys faced when it comes to growing your podcast and, you know, with Muslim podcasting generally?
There's a lot of challenges, but I do want to talk about some of the challenges that you may face in the beginning if you're just starting up. But the mic that you have right there, that's not a beginner's mic. You follow me? The equipment that you have, even the audio box, that's not for beginners. Alhamdulillah, we were blessed with it, so we're a little bit different, but people can just start off with the headphone and just their headphones and just phones and just start speak. Another thing is that when you start, you have to pick momentum. So we recommend recording in bulk and have at least 10 to 15 episodes in the tuck. Mm-hmm. That way it gives you about 2 months of leeway for if something happens unexpectedly, somebody passes away, you get sick, you're just burnt out, because that's going to happen throughout the journey. And then I would recommend not doing a podcast alone, right? The reason is that you have good energy when you bounce off somebody. And if you do it alone, more times than not, you're going to either have a guest on there or you must be just a super interesting person, right? It's like, it's one of the two. And then I'm sure Jabril can probably hit on some other challenges.
Like Nuri has me on this podcast.
We need the Hasnain Ali podcast. Once we have that, I think this is a prelude to that.
Well, you know, I was gonna say that's funny that you mentioned that, because I find that the only people that can actually do solo podcasts are people that have lives where they've been well lived.
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't feel like they're just getting advice all the time. It's like they have something to actually add to the conversation with this super interesting person, right? I think a big challenge for anybody is to stay motivated. There's going to be a lot of things to discourage you. You're going to record one of the best episodes you'll ever have recorded, and you'll figure out later on that you didn't get any of it. We've had it happen multiple times. I know I can tell by your face, Nuri, it's happening. I know it's happening, right? I know it's happening. Like, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to, if you do have a co-host, you're going to have times when you guys are butting heads. Like, it's just not. You're going to see different things and not know how to go eye to eye. I mean, for us, we've been friends for just over a decade. And, you know, it hasn't put a strain on our relationship, thankfully, because we do a good job of being able to keep our friendship and our business side of things, you know, more or less separated. But it's going to put a strain on things, because you're going to have different ideas and learning how to cooperate with a co-host. I think that's tough, right? And then I think getting into the business of it, right? The business of a podcast, which a lot of podcasters actually never even get to, is figuring out, how do you make money? Do you want to do ads? Do you not want to do ads? Do you want to do sponsorships? Do you not want to do sponsors? Like, all of those things are challenges and questions you got to eventually try and answer or remedy as time goes on.
Appreciate that advice. What do the next 5 to 10 years look like for Young and Muslim?
We're going to get to 1 million, and then we're going to sell this joint to Facebook.
They're going to buy it.
All right.
I mean, inshallah, by, you know, 5 to 10 years, we'll be a full, alhamdulillah, we're a full-blown business right now, but we'll be able to be just kind of more of like a network, you know what I mean? And overlooking other podcasts and maybe other channels, and, you know, help other podcasters grow their platform, because we do have the roadmap, and alhamdulillah, we're about 125 episodes to go. But there's people out there like Joe Rogan that have 1,000. Like, those are the people that we're chasing now. You're like, it's funny, because at first there were, you know, there was this tiny, you know, whether it's who's that Identity Politics, that was a hot podcast when we first started. We're like, oh, we want to at least be minutely close to them. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah, you know, we have been able to surpass that in regards to numbers and just keep pushing. So. Yeah, man, we're just trying to be one of the top podcasts in the world, not just in the Muslims in the space, but just in general.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Drake quote where he's like, look at Shaq posted up on dudes I used to have posters of. It's like podcasts that were way, way, way bigger than us. Now we're like turning slam dunking on. And it's sick, man. It's a cool film, because it takes a level of consistency that's almost crazy.
Sick.
Yeah, sick. Like, we've had to, there was a point, because we don't live near each other. We used to. But like, I left my job. I had 3 jobs down here. I quit them to move up closer to him, get an apartment so we could use it as a studio. And I lived there for 2 years just to get the podcast rolling. Wow. So it's stuff like that people don't see, where it was like, it almost be like you moving to London so that you guys can record consistently and make it work, right?
I was just gonna say, Hasan, I'm moving in. Send me some space in your second one.
I'm not leaving my job because I have a lifestyle to upkeep. But I'm just saying, Jordans don't pay for themselves, man. I'll tell you that.
Jibreel, Muhammad, sorry, Hasan, do you have another point you
want to add? Yeah, I just wanted to end on just on another question before you end. I just wanted to ask both Jibreel and Mo, in your spiritual journey today, where you got to today, what's one piece of advice you would tell your younger self?
That's a good question.
Hey, Ma, I'll let you go first, bro.
Yeah, I would have two pieces of advice. One thing is to understand, especially as men, understand your emotions and control your emotions, because you can hurt a lot of people. And then the second one is watch what you say. Because after you say something, you literally can't take it back. And especially when you're married and you say something, there's always going to be somebody right there to check you, like, yo, bro, that wasn't cool. You feel me? Sometimes your homies or your other friends might let that slide, but somebody that wants you to get better and hold you accountable, they won't. So that's what I would say. Control your, understand your emotions and then control it, and then think before you speak.
Down, bro. One piece of advice, I'll try and stick to one, and I think I'm learning this more now than ever, is to travel solo. 100%. And do it often, take more risk within your spirituality, because if Allah really is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then he'll understand, he'll forgive. Don't be afraid. Like, well, I guess that is two things, right? Travel solo and take more risk. Within your spirituality, take more risks within your religion, press those boundaries, go over here, then go over here, go here, go here, see how far you want your spirituality to span. Because eventually, 5-6 years after that, you'll be in a position where you'll be very comfortable with yourself, and you won't have as many questions about where you stand with your morals, values, or your own religious beliefs.
Profound, mashallah, well done. Jibreel, Muhammad, before we let you guys go, where can people find your podcast, where can they subscribe, and then where can they get in contact with you?
All right, so if you guys want to listen to the Young Muslim Podcast, Mo, where can they do that at?
Yes, you can find our podcast on any platform that you usually listen to podcasts on, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Alexa, Pandora. Just, you can also go on YouTube and find the Young and Muslim Podcast. And Jibreel, if they want to choose a direct message or get in contact with us, how can they do that?
Absolutely, Mo. You guys can find us on all of our social media platforms, Young and Muslim, YOUNG, the letter N, Muslim, Young and Muslim, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook even. Yeah, we got Facebook for the old heads out there. So yeah, you guys can hit us up. We are very responsive to DMs, and we like to engage with the people that like to engage with us. So there we are.
Brothers, appreciate you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys.
Assalamu alaikum. This is episode 41, The Challenges of Muslim Podcasting, with Jibreel Salam and Muhammad Hasan of Young and Muslim. Young and Muslim is one of America's favorite Muslim podcasts. Jibreel and Muhammad endeavor to explore the real issues that young Muslim Americans experience, giving their own takes and personal experiences in a hilarious fashion that is rarely seen on the topic of Islam. We'll be speaking to the brothers on their journey, why they got into podcasting, the challenges they faced along the way, and advice to those who want to start their own podcast. Thanks for spending time with us today, and welcome back to 786 Boulevard. Jibreel, Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. How are you guys doing?
Alaikum assalam. Doing good, bro. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. Appreciate you guys jumping on. I feel like we've got a connection ever since we were both featured on that article by The National. Was it the most influential or 10 Muslim podcasts to look out for?
And look, we got this, like, all I saw was Obama.
Yeah, you saw Obama, but there is like this, like, brotherly weird connection that we got going on because we're both on the same list, alhamdulillah. And I think for me and Hasnain, that's when we realized, okay, now we got to step it up, now we can't mess around. So, you know, it's been an interesting journey so far.
The big deal on this podcast, man.
it's a big deal. That's what Hussein thinks. So ignore him. He's got his ego. I'm more of a humble kind of, you know, I try to go the humble way. But we're here. Appreciate you guys coming on, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, hopefully we'll have a brief conversation about something we've been struggling with, and I'm sure so many others struggle with as well, which are the challenges of establishing a Muslim podcast, which I'm sure you guys are well versed in. Mashallah, you guys have a great audience so far. You have some great episodes, great conversations, some of which I've been hearing the past few days. Just to start off, people who might not know your story, the story behind Young and Muslim, just give us a brief background into both you guys and how you kind of established it and the story of your growth since then.
Yeah, I guess I'll go because I'll be the first to talk. So Muhammad and I, we've known each other for going on 12 years now. We met in college. We were the only two Muslim students in the school. So naturally we gravitated towards each other as we were both stealing food out of our cafeteria, right? Over years and years and years, we came up with different things, different ideas to do stuff. And then we land on a podcast. And we started that in 2018. Really just wanting to talk about the things that we talked about with each other, right? But actually make those conversations something that we felt more people would want to hear, more people going through those things, because we have a very, you know, checkered sort of experiences. So we started the podcast and was putting out one episode, another episode, and here we are now 100 plus episodes later.
Amazing. Muhammad.
Yeah, what made the conversation so interesting between Jabril and I was because I'm from Northern Virginia. He's from Southern Virginia. So if you're from the area, you know that Northern Virginia is near D.C. It's near Maryland, up the way to Philly, New York. So there are tons of Muslims there. So in regards to going to Muslim activities, finding like massages and Juma, that was a piece of cake, right? It's not something that you think about. Then when I went down south, because I went to college with Jabril, as he mentioned, at Virginia wasn't in college, there were no massages, right? There was no Juma. It was all up to us. And then when I met Jabril's family, they're like, "You ready for Juma?" I'm like, "I'm ready." I was like, "Where's everybody at?" They're like, "Here it is." And it was only two people and I was the third person, subhanAllah. So I was like, wow, this is really like that out here, you know? So that's when Jabril and I really started to get intrigued with one another, like, "Yo, what's your background?" And I started telling them about my background. And that's how so many conversations came about. And then the podcast was birthed through those combos.
What was the difference like? I mean, I guess it's a heavy question, but just briefly, what was like the difference in spiritual upbringing, let's say, growing up in these different environments? Because I'm from London, Hasnain's from New York. There's Muslims everywhere. You know, you can't walk the street without seeing a hijabi, sometimes even a niqabi. There's mosques everywhere. There's halal fried chicken shops everywhere. Muslims are a big part of where we live. And I find it so interesting that so many of us in the West grow up in these communities, regions where there's barely any Muslims. So what was the difference like in your, let's say, spiritual upbringing and coming to know Islam, where you were, Jibril, compared to where you grew up, Muhammad?
I think the biggest thing was the expectation of the individual versus the collective, right? Because there are so few Muslims here, it's pretty much on you to uphold your Islam. Like you're not with five of your homies in school. So I went, when I was going to high school, middle school, intermediate school, primary school, I was the only Muslim. So it was really on me to uphold my Islam for myself. And you quickly start learning what is your religion for yourself, right? And you learn it even more so once you're on your own and you live in a different place from your family. So I think that was probably the biggest thing that maybe was a shock to Mo when he came down, was that, oh, so I have to be Muslim, not just when it's Eid, not just when I'm around the family. It's like, so it's just us. And that was a real struggle for us, because you're in college and there's every temptation that you can think of imaginable right there in front of you. And no one's saying like, nah, don't do it. So it's like, you having to come into your own and be responsible for that, knowing that there's only two of you or one of you or nobody else like you, even nearby.
That's incredible. And Muhammad, what about, I guess your experiences would be similar to us, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would say it would be similar, but also a little bit different, because there's levels, right? In regards to everything, there's levels of heaven, there's levels of hell, you know what I mean? So when it came to the Muslims up here, there was different levels. You had the Muslims that were in the ISA and the Islamic schools and the masajid after school program. Then you had the individuals that would visit the masajid because their family would take them. Then you would have people like me that would just come on Jummah, or we would slip through the cracks because our parents were working all the time. So my dad worked all the time. My mom wasn't home. I didn't have a ride to the masajid. So we were one, my community, we were some of the Muslims that just fell through the cracks that were just kind of in the streets, you know? And the Islam that we learned was through our family and through our culture, which wasn't always the most pure, accurate, because it was passed down from our grandpa, from his father to, you know? So when we learn something, we don't ask questions. We just follow. We just abide. You know what I mean? And sometimes that hurts us because it's always good to ask questions. In Islam, you have to know what you're doing. Everything's intention. So when I came down, I met Jibril. He's like, why do you do that? I'm like, because my dad does it. And then his dad does it. So it was a lot of ritual stuff that I had to break when I met Jibril's time, because, like, mashallah, they went by the book and they were able to not only find Allah through the text, but find it through creation. And my spirituality grew a lot because a lot of things were fear-mongered in my community. Just like haram, hell, like those were a lot, right? And when I came to Jibril, he's like, yo, like, looks like a lot of your practice is based off of fear. You know what I mean? I'm like, isn't that kind of how it's supposed to be? Like, we're not supposed to do stuff because of the fear of what's going to happen. He's like, yeah, that's understandable, but we have to live in the middle. You know, we have the wisdom and understand that Allah is also the most merciful and, you know, can forgive us for what we do. And you can also kind of, you can enjoy life and not be so uptight.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, he had to say that and not me. Like, it's, I can't be like, yo, the way you pronounce was all fear-based, right? Like, I can't say that. So it's, you know, but he's spot on though. And I think that's a conversation that we've been having more now than we have at any point in our friendship, is because everything's better in hindsight, right? Like, you can look back and say, hey, like, this is what it was like when we were 18, 19, and we were like, we were first kind of figuring ourselves out as far as what was it like, where we came from, what were our practices like. And by no means was the way that I brought up absolutely perfect, right? Like, I've definitely learned things from his family, and there's a stronger sense of community because he does have that lineage with the religion. But I think when you have friends that come from such polar opposites, you have no choice but to learn what's on each side of the plane. In terms of how you grew up, how you're learning, how you practice. And you want to stay with some of those things. But I think over the years and truly through our platform, we've learned that the middle ground is where it's set. That's where the nectar is the sweetest, right in the middle of the flower, you know?
Right. You know, there's a lot to unpack there with what Muhammad said. Number one, the whole practicing with fear, you know, growing up, my dad would always say, I'm a God-fearing man, right? And I didn't understand the beauty of just switching that sentence to I'm a God-loving man, and how much more powerful that is for you when you go about the streets. And you're like, so there's a story. I ran into a priest, and, like, you know, he was just like, hey, you need Jesus in your life. And I'm like, I do have Jesus in my life. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Then, you know, he was going about, because in New York, it happens all the time. Like, listen, I have Jesus in my life. You know, just, you know, don't worry about it. And he's like, you need to be a God-fearing man and this, that, and the other. Because he saw me in my suit and tie, and I work in finance, and everybody thinks finance is the devil's industry, right? I mean, anyway, so, you know.
Another podcast.
So long story short, you know, I simply turned around to him, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a God-fearing man. There's nothing to fear about God. I'm a God-loving man. And that's what brings me closer to him. So just simply switching that sentence around, because I know we use it a lot, not in that context, but in whatever context you use it, we use it a lot. And that really changed my life. So that's point number one. Point number two is, it's interesting how you brought up the whole, you know, I was brought up in a culture and in religion. And in today's world, it's so easy to mix the two. And even though it's okay for culture to fit in your Islamic values, the religion is before the culture. And, like, I'm guilty of it as well. You know, being Pakistani, we have, like, if a black cat walks past you, you're going to have a bad day. If you cut your nails at night, oh, you're going to die tomorrow morning. Like, I don't know what it is, right? So we have those cultural things. And I just tell my parents, like, yo, where did you learn this from? Because I'm reading the books and I'm reading the text and, like, I'm good. I'm Gucci. I don't care if a black cat walks in past. Just, you know, give us some milk or whatnot. So something I'm learning today is separation of culture and Islam. And slowly what I'm learning is I'm not in tune with my Pakistani culture as much. Like, I love the tradition. I love the food. I love the clothes. That's fine. But I also love culture of other cultures as well, like the Afghani culture, the Iraqi culture, the Sudanese culture and whatnot, the Ethiopian culture. You know, I've had Ethiopian food for the first time last week. It was amazing. I'm getting introduced to these cultures that I love. But then when you take a step back, you know, I was like, you know, my religion is my religion, but my religion is also my culture, because it opens up other cultures for me to appreciate. So it's just, you know, just two things that, you know, you brought up and they just clicked to me, because that's exactly the conversation I'm having this week. Go ahead, Nuri. I went on a rant there.
No, I like it. Love to hear your opinions. One thing I want to ask you guys is, you know, I find it so interesting that you guys both seem very sincere in this spiritual journey that you're going on, and constantly looking for, I guess, an element of truth. And I guess, how much does that seep into, or how much do the conversations that you have on your podcast seep into your spirituality? I mean, do you find you guys having conversations seeking to grow yourselves in your own way? And to what extent do these conversations help you navigate your own Islamic spirituality and identity?
They're 100% raw, 120%. So we got to the point where we had to stop talking on the phone as much to keep up with each other. Because when we were in school, we adopted this thing called the buddy system, right? Essentially, we're each other's accountability partners. So with that, it was like, I remember immediately after school, it was like, yo, hey, bro, make sure you go to Juma today, da, da, da. Hey, make sure you pray today, da, 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 right? And, you know, that would ebb and flow up and down in waves. And so it got to the point where we were like, yo, we got to stop talking so much so that we can save this stuff for the podcast, right? And so we can come up there, be as authentic and as real as possible, because the reality is the stuff that we would ordinarily talk about on a regular basis, we want our audience to also engage in those conversations. Because we don't know what people talk about behind closed doors, but we can only assume that if people are struggling with their faith, people are struggling with their spirituality, people are struggling with where they actually belong in the world as much as we are, then these conversations and these questions, maybe they're asking them, maybe they're not, but they are asking them, then this podcast, we want this episode to be the thing that strikes the iron for them, that thing that sparks that fire for them. And maybe they take it on a whole nother level than we've taken it, but we want to at least be that inspiration for helping someone align better on their own spiritual path, you know?
Yeah, no, just kind of to piggyback off what Jabril said, very well said. I feel like when we first started the podcast, because it was a Young and Muslim podcast, we focused a lot on the Muslim portion of it, right? Mm-hmm. We focused on the prayer, we focused on the fasting. And then as we started to get older and wiser and more in tune with ourselves, we started to talk about more of the young portion. When I mean young, more of the people, right? We weren't so heavily focused on the Muslims, but more focused on the people. For example, we just went to Jamaica, right? And we learned about Islam and the Caribbeans. And what that did for us was just open up our mind in regards to being able to farm, right? And grow your own food. And you see Allah everywhere. You feel me? So when your mind and your heart opens up and you start having conversations, now you can have that spiritual conversation with anybody, right? And they're not even going to know you, Muslim. Yo, they're like, yo, there's something special about that guy. You follow me? In the same way with Jabril, at first, when we first started, I was like, oh, that guy's Muslim. They can kind of tell right away. We're not trying to pigeonhole ourselves, because we know that the Quran, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was sent to mankind, or it was a mercy to the people. And every prophet or messenger that was sent spoke the language of the people. And right now, with the struggles that the young Muslims have, including us, we're just speaking the language of the people now. You follow me? So we're not too focused on the text. Because if we were, then, you know, that's when they go listen to Mufti Mink and other people that are more knowledgeable, but that's not.
Yeah, you know, and to Muhammad's point, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot more now is I guess kind of on that route of like Tony Robbins, right? Like self-help, how do we make ourselves better? Because all of these things, Hassanin, you said it best. I'm not a God fearing man. I'm a God loving man. And if I love God, then it means that I love his creation. I love his creation, the people. If you love the creation, that means that you love the trees, the mountains, the ocean, all of it. And you see God in all of it, right? So everything, like what we've come to realize in doing this podcast, that everything's connected. Everything is a part of our religion and how we interact with people, meaning we're not just talking about, you know, hadiths and saying, oh, have a good manner. Just like, yo, let's make this practical, right? Like, if you see an old lady, open the door for it. Like, let's be cool. If you see trash on the ground, pick it up, put it in a trash can. So it's like, when we break it down to that level, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim or not Muslim. The podcast that we're finding is that we get a lot of non-Muslims that listen to it because it's just like, yo, like, this is good life stuff. And I think that's what our religion is in itself. It's just, this is just good life stuff to make your life better, if you to be better for other people as well.
I love that perspective of not trying to embracing your identity, but at the same time not trying to pigeonhole yourself, because you're right, as we know, the Prophet peace be upon him was sent as a mercy to mankind, not to Muslimin. Allah is Lord of the world, not of the Muslims. And I think that sometimes, unfortunately, in our communities we kind of forget that, and we're very inward looking. You know, and I think it's important to work on ourselves, but sometimes we forget about the world around us. And I feel like there's a sense of almost arrogance that we have that, oh, we are the guided people and we have the right religion, but we're not using those lessons to better the people around us. You know, everything that happens, not even on a grander scale, like, for example, what we see, you know, the social injustices that we see around us, for example, in America and the West, that we all come out and protest against. Even the very simple things, like you said, the woman that needs crossing the street, your neighbor, do you even know who he is? You know, I feel like these are really opportunities for us to really practice our Islam. And I really appreciate that point. Another thing that I guess me and Hassanin have kind of enjoyed over the 40 episodes now that we've had in this podcast is having conversations with so many diverse people. I think sometimes we forget that Islam is not a monolith. There are so many, there's such a big diversity of Muslims with different perspectives. I mean, aside from being Muslim, we're all different souls and have our own interests and you know, liberal, conservative, religious, non-religious, this side, that side, you know, different cultures. Hassanin, of course, is more liberal and I'm more conservative, so we do clash sometimes. But what's amazing is that there's just such diversity in the Muslim community. And I'm guessing that's something you have kind of discovered, with each conversation that you've had. So how does each conversation that you have kind of open your mind to how diverse our Muslim community is?
That's a good question. Are you talking specifically from our guest, from our audience,
specifically from your experiences with the podcast generally?
Well, what I'm starting to understand, especially from the podcast, is that as Muslims we're supposed to be very intelligent, right? But we're very simple-minded. And what I mean by that is that I go to the podcast and I see what people are saying. I see what people are talking about. When I post on social media, we post on social media, I see what people are gravitating towards. For example, you pray outside and people go crazy. Oh my God, he's praying outside. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe he's praying outside. Like, he's praying outside.
What's your excuse?
Exactly. And everybody goes crazy. But then you have a video of somebody saying some very insightful advice in regards to transforming your heart and controlling like your nafs and how to be a better person. The Muslim, like, we're not worried about that. You know, so that makes me realize that we have started to turn into symbolic people. And another example of that is that now, you know, instead of following our religion and our texts and God and the messenger of God, we're starting to follow reciters, right? And qadis, and we're falling in love with them. We're falling in love with their voice, not even what they're saying. Again, symbolic. And then when these individuals get up so high and then they get caught up with different scandals, whether it's domestic violence, sex abuse, I mean, whatever it may be, we're flabbergasted. We're like, how is that possible? Forgetting that these people are human. and we shouldn't even be following these people in the first place. So what I started to realize is that we need to go back to our roots and actually start to think as Muslims. You feel me? Like, to think, start to ask questions, and not just follow any and everybody.
Yeah, you know? I think to sum up where you're at and what you just said is everything is becoming performative. Like, everything's performative because it's a lot easier to act like you're about it than to truly be about it. Because to truly be about it means you have to make mistakes and you have to have ups, you got to have downs. And I think that's a lot of what we share with our platform, is that we get people that ask us like some crazy questions, right? Like questions that's like, yo, I'm not your local sheikh, right? I'm not that guy.
And in my way.
Yeah, I'm not that guy, right? Like,
I think it's quite a point.
Right. So what I've learned, similar to where Mo is going with it, is people prefer to see the performative stuff because it gives you that second of dopamine. Like, ooh, they prayed outside, I'm about to go pray really quick. And that's great. If we post something or do something, it's like, yo, go pray, make salah, like, alhamdulillah, like, great. But what's more important is, are you trying to fully live out your life, or are you just trying to live it out in sections? So what I mean by that is, a lot of people aren't really trying to fully go through the life experience. And to go through life is pretty scary, right? Like, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not do everything right. And I think when we grow up in a culture and we grow up in a society where we view religion as like a shackle, you start to act like you're in prison. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of, like, a lot of youth feel like they really don't have a parameter to move in. They just feel like Islam has got them in a straitjacket the whole time. But the way I look at Islam, and the way that we've, you know, really been able to, you know, look at it for ourselves and then help that message spread within our audiences, Islam is like a blank canvas that has simple rules, right? But that canvas can be painted in the most beautiful way possible. And that's the individuality, as you said before. It's like, I can paint it completely blue, or I can go Bob Ross and make mountains and a beautiful lake. So when we start really trying to look at the people that we're encountering, that's what I'm seeing. And that's what I feel like is a big issue that we have going forward.
Mohammed, if I can, before Hassan jumps in, Mohammed, if I can ask you, I mean, you mentioned that you feel like one of the biggest challenges for Muslim community right now is that we're very simple-minded. Why do you think that is?
I believe that people become simple-minded because they stop being curious, right? Their curiosity dies down. And then when you're not curious anymore, you don't have that tenacity, you don't have that division, or that ample kind of amount, the ample space in your brain to be like, okay, what's next? Like, why? Just like we would when we were kids. Again, if you just listen to what everybody's saying and you just do it and you don't ask questions, then that's the problem. So when we go to Jummah and we never become the khatib, but it's the same khatib every week, whatever he says, you're not going to question him. Sometimes you might not even go and do your research. You follow me? So it's just whether it's at home with your family or whether it's inside the masajid. You feel me? We're just becoming more simple by the day.
A few things to unravel there. Question number one is the simple-mindedness and the lack of questioning individuals. Do you see a difference between generations when it comes to that? Because you guys mentioned two things, right? Simple-mindedness and Islam becoming like a performance, or like, I see him praying on the street, oh, I'm going to go pray because he's praying, so he's the leader. But do you see that that's because, like, there's a difference between your audience who are like Gen Zs, who are growing up in this technology phase where everything is Instagram, everything is TikTok, and I got to look for that performance to show my Islam, versus like people like myself and you guys, I hope, millennials, right? Or baby boomers for that matter, who didn't have that. And we had to, you know, like, at least for me, like, you know, Islam was growing up shoved down my throat. kind of left Islam, but then relearned it on my own, which is why it's so much more closer to me now. Mm.
Well, that's what I was saying before. Like, you had to make your mistakes. You had to have your ups and your downs. Right. And right now, I feel like, I don't think it's a generational thing, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more prevalent with the younger kids now because everything's being put right there in their faces. Like, they're able to see everything. We kind of had the privilege of growing up, and you only felt crap when you had to go to the masjid and see that your friend knew 20 surahs and you only knew 5, right? Your class can only go so far. So, like, that was the only time you really had to feel that kind of comparison, right? That comparison anxiety when you were around other people. Now, kids are feeling it 24/7. And it's not just with religion. Like, we got to remember, we're up against everything in terms of trying to get the youth to see that this religion is cool. Like, you can be Muslim and still have swagger. You can still, like, live your life and be cool with your Islam, but that requires you to have to go through trial and error.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that maybe it is because it's the generation gap, but you went through it, we went through it, and I think the young kids are going to go through it as well. That's why I'm constantly just beating at the door saying, guys, you gotta, it's okay to have the questions. It's okay to not be 100% certain. You gotta just go out there, keep your balance, right? Like, know where your feet lie, but don't be afraid to take a few steps forward and a few steps back, a few steps to the side, right? Like, you gotta see what level ground you're on.
Yeah. Okay.
I would add to Jabril's point, because when I see the generations, I see three different kind of stacks, right? I see my parents, then I see me, and then I see the younger youth, right? So my parents, whether it's my dad or my mom, they learned from the local masajid or local sheikh who taught everybody in the village. You follow me? That's how it was. And if they had any questions, they would have to go find that imam or sheikh, but he could be busy, you know? So a lot of questions weren't answered, or they would have to kind of find it on their own within the text, right? You know? And what I'm starting to learn is that the older individuals, they know the text, but they might not know what it means or the context around it. They know for face value, so it's hard for them to kind of not only explain it, but to live it out, right? And when it comes to us, I feel like we're in the best position because we got the best of both worlds, right? We got the religion some people shoved down their throat, and then we started to learn on our own, like, hey, we need to kind of unlearn some of these things that were taught to us, and this is the truth. So it's that happy medium. Now that I'm on TikTok a lot and I'm watching the young kids, the reason why they're promoting the Islam is more of a trend or try to be funny. For example, I see people post online like, come to Islam, you can have 4 wives. As you brother know, it's hard to have one. You know, you follow me? So it's very difficult to have one. So, and then I see like that, I get like millions of views, like, oh, I want to come to Islam. I want to have 4 wives. I want to be a player, this, that, and the third. It's like, no, bro. And I'm sure you guys heard, I don't know if it's a hadith or what it was. When you're looking for Islamic knowledge or when you were sitting with somebody that has that, when you're asking questions, ask good questions. Ask intelligent questions. Just like Surah Al-Kahf, people are asking, was it 3 dogs? Or was it 4 dogs? Was it 5 dogs? Why are you worried about the dogs? You feel me? Get the lesson. The young kids right now are asking some wild question. I'm like, what? Get the lesson, bro. You feel me? Like, get the lesson. Like, oh, yeah, but I should be able to ask any question. Yeah, but did you think before you asked that question? Like Jabril said, we never turn anybody down, right, in regards to asking a question. But some of these younger kids have no boundaries with it. You follow me? So it's like, where is some of the guidance? You follow me?
Well, I think it's also knowing the room.
Yeah, like, read the room.
Yeah, read the room. Like, fam, like, is this really the best place where you should be asking questions about X, Y, and Z? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't go to Fousey 2 to learn about marriage. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think we're getting in a place, like Mo said, where influencers are starting to have more influence over people's own individual thoughts.
Right.
And it's tricky. Like, I got younger siblings. I see these kids out here, and they'd rather watch someone travel to Senegal than actually think about doing it themselves.
Right.
You know, it's so much easier to do that, to live life through someone else's piety, someone else's, like, I love watching my man, Dr. Faraj Hassan, right? Love that dude. Cool dude. We've talked with him. Real good guy. And it's like, I'm like, I don't want to just fall in love with, listen to this guy recite, because he's great at it, right? He's great at it. But I'm like, who is he? Who is this guy? Like, he's a cool person. Let me get to know him and not just fall in love with, one day I'll be able to recite like that. Like, we fall in love, like Mo said, with the performances. And not to say he's performing, but we fall in love with the characters, not so much the people.
I'm laughing because when we went on Instagram Live with him, we were the first people that actually got to know him as a person. Like, yeah, he didn't recite. And then somebody came in the comments like, why aren't you reciting? Come to you for like recitation. It's like, yo, bro, you got, like, you don't want to get to know him as a person. You know what I mean? So basically they just come in, abuse the influencers or abuse the people that had the quality work, and then they get it and then they're out. You follow me? Instead of trying to sit there and actually get to know the person. You follow me?
Off the back of that point about young Muslims, what challenges do you think young American Muslims are facing specific to that demographic?
I think they're going to really struggle to find themselves. I mean, I know that's like super meta and like up there, but they're really going to struggle to find their place in their own Islam, because there's so many things for you to watch and look at and say, oh, like, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Like, Islam is vast, man. Like, it is huge. There's a lot of things that you can learn and things that you gravitate towards, things you don't gravitate towards. And everything isn't for everybody. And I think that when you have this illusion of options, when you have all of these things, this buffet of spiritual options, you can get lost in that. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is people don't like to spend time with themselves. People don't like to take the time to really hunt and say, all right, what do I need for my spirit? Not my mom, not my dad, not my wife, not my husband, not my kids, not my pets. What do I need? Granted, they're young, they're not going to have Mary maybe, but the point is still go out there and figure out where you stand within your Islam, you know? I think it's going to be a big thing going forward.
That's profound. I love that. I wanted to, winding down, I wanted to move on to just some kind of do's and don'ts. Obviously, you guys are very experienced podcasters, and I'm half asking you because I'm interested in myself and trying to learn. So I'm just going to use this opportunity. You guys on episode, what,
123.
Wow. Okay, Marshall, that's amazing. What kind of advice, I mean, before we get into advice, what are the challenges, would you say, of Muslim podcasting? I know podcasting itself is already very, very, very tough. I mean, Hasnain and I know it's, as much as I love doing this, it can be very difficult to set aside time for it, you know, especially with the kind of like hectic lives that we have and building an audience. And there's just so many challenges that are involved. But what challenges would you say come with, or what challenges have you guys faced when it comes to growing your podcast and, you know, with Muslim podcasting generally?
Man, there's a lot of challenges, but I do want to talk about some of the challenges that you may face in the beginning if you're just starting up. The mic that you have right there, that's not a beginner's mic. You follow me? The equipment that you have, even the audio box, that's not for beginners. Alhamdulillah, we were blessed with it, so we're a little bit different, but people can just start off with the headphone and just their headphones and just phones and just start speak. Another thing is that when you start, you have to pick momentum. So we recommend recording in bulk and have at least 10 to 15 episodes in the tuck. Mm-hmm. That way it gives you about 2 months of leeway for if something happens unexpectedly, somebody passes away, you get sick, you're just burnt out, because that's going to happen throughout the journey. And then I would recommend not doing a podcast alone, right? The reason is that you have good energy when you bounce off somebody. And if you do it alone, more times than not, you're going to either have a guest on there or you must be just a super interesting person, right? It's like, it's one of the two. And then I'm sure Jabril can probably hit on some other challenges.
Like, Nuri has me on this podcast.
We need the Hasnain Ali podcast. Once we have that, I think this is a prelude to that.
Well, you know, I was gonna say that's funny that you mentioned that, because I find that the only people that can actually do solo podcasts are people that have lives where they've been well lived.
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't feel like they're just getting advice the whole time. It's like they have something to actually add to the conversation with this super interesting person, right? I think a big challenge for anybody is to stay motivated. There's going to be a lot of things to discourage you. You're going to record one of the best episodes you'll ever have recorded, and you'll figure out later on that you didn't get any of it. We've had it happen multiple times. I know I can tell by your face, Nuri, it's happened. I know it's happened, right? I know it's happened. Like, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to, if you do have a co-host, you're going to have times where you guys are butting heads. Like, it's just not. You're going to see different things and not know how to go eye to eye. I mean, for us, we've been friends for just over a decade. And, you know, it hasn't put a strain on our relationship, thankfully, because we do a good job of being able to keep our friendship and our business side of things, you know, more or less separated. But it's going to put a strain on things, because you're going to have different ideas, and learning how to cooperate with a co-host, I think that's tough, right? And then I think getting into the business of it, right? The business of a podcast, which a lot of podcasters actually never even get to, is figuring out, how do you make money? Do you want to do ads? Do you not want to do ads? Do you want to do sponsorships? Do you not want to do sponsors? Like, all of those things are challenges and questions you got to eventually try and answer or remedy as time goes on.
Appreciate that advice. What do the next 5 to 10 years look like for Young and Muslim?
We're going to get to 1 million, and then we're going to sell this joint to Facebook.
They're going to buy it.
All right.
I mean, inshallah, by, you know, 5 to 10 years, we'll be a full, alhamdulillah, we're a full-blown business right now, but we'll be able to be just kind of more of like a network, you know what I mean? And overlooking other podcasts and maybe other channels, and, you know, help other podcasters grow their platform, because we do have the roadmap, and alhamdulillah, we're about 125 episodes to go. But there's people out there like Joe Rogan that have 1,000. Like, those are the people that we're chasing now. You're like, it's funny, because at first there were, you know, there was this tiny, you know, whether it's Identity Politics, that was a hot podcast when we first started. We're like, oh, we want to at least be minutely close to them. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah, you know, we have been able to surpass that in regards to numbers and just keep pushing. So yeah, man, we're just trying to be one of the top podcasts in the world, not just in the Muslims in the space, but just in general.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Drake quote where he's like, look at Shaq posted up on dudes I used to have posters of. It's like podcasts that were way, way, way bigger than us. Now we're like turning slam dunking on. And it's sick, man. It's a cool film, because it takes a level of consistency that's almost crazy.
Sick.
Yeah, sick. Like, we've had to, there was a point, because we don't live near each other, we used to, but like, I left my job, I had 3 jobs down here, I quit them to move up closer to him, get an apartment so we could use it as a studio, and I lived there for 2 years just to get the podcast rolling. Wow. So it's stuff like that people don't see, where it was like, it'll almost be like you moving to London so that you guys can record consistently and make it work, right?
I was just gonna say, Hasnain, I'm moving in. Send me some space in your second one.
I'm not leaving my job because I have a lifestyle to upkeep. But I'm just saying, Jordans don't pay for themselves, man. I'll tell you that.
Jibreel, Muhammad, sorry, Hasnain, do you have another point you
want
to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to end on just on another question before you end. I just wanted to ask both Jibreel and Mo, in your spiritual journey today. Where you got to today, what's one piece of advice you would tell your younger self?
That's a good question.
Hey, Ma, I'll let you go first, bro.
Yeah, I would have 2 pieces of advice. One thing is to understand, especially as men, understand your emotions and control your emotions, because you can hurt a lot of people. And then the second one is watch what you say. After you say something, you literally can't take it back. And especially when you're married and you say something, there's always going to be somebody right there to check you, like, yo, bro, that wasn't cool. You feel me? Sometimes your homies or your other friends might let that slide, but somebody that wants you to get better and hold you accountable, they won't. So that's what I would say. Control, you understand your emotions and then control it, and then think before you speak.
Down, bro. One piece of advice, I'll try and stick to one, and I think I'm learning this more now than ever, is to travel solo. 100%. And do it often, do it a lot, do it often. Take more risk within your spirituality, because if Allah really is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then he'll understand, he'll forgive. Don't be afraid. Like, well, I guess that is two things, right? Travel solo and take more risk within your spirituality, take more risk within your religion, press those boundaries. Go over here, then go over here, go here, go here. See how far you want your spirituality to span. Because eventually, 5-6 years after that, you'll be in a position where you'll be very comfortable with yourself, and you won't have as many questions about where you stand with your morals, values, or your own religious beliefs.
Profound. Mashallah, well done. Jibril, Muhammad, before we let you guys go, where can people find your podcast? Where can they subscribe? And then where can they get in contact with you?
Uh-oh. All right. So if you guys want to listen to the Young Muslim Podcast, Mo, where can they do that at?
Yes. You can find our podcast on any platform that you usually listen to podcasts on. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Alexa, Pandora, just... You can also go on YouTube and find the Young and Muslim Podcast. And Jibril, if they want to shoot us a direct message or get in contact with us, how can they do that?
Absolutely, Mo. You guys can find us on all of our social media platforms, Young and Muslim, Y-O-U-N-G, the letter N, Muslim, Young and Muslim, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook even. Yeah, we got Facebook for the old heads out there. You guys can hit us up. We are very responsive to DMs, and we like to engage with the people that like to engage with us. So here we are.
Well, appreciate you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys.